What is up, ladies and gentlemen? Welcome to episode 175. Is that correct? I literally just opened SoundCloud to check the episode number, and I didn't look at the episode number. So I'm going to say it's 175 at the Massive Breakdown Podcast. We have a fantastic episode for you tonight. We were hoping for a meaty twab this week, and we did, in fact, get a decent amount of information. Not necessarily the information that people wanted to hear. It was talking about everything that they're putting into the Destiny content vault, basically everything that they are removing from Destiny when Beyond Light comes out this November. And it is a lot, some of it good, some of it bad, some of it we don't really care about. We're going to be talking about all of that, and that'll be the episode, because Solstice of Heroes is still going on, and it's not really a tremendously exciting time, because we haven't gotten the darn Travelers Chosen yet, which is the thing I'm most excited about. For this entire event. So as soon as we get that, we'll get to do a weapon breakdown. But until then, we're just talking about what's going on in the Destiny community. So let's get the introductions out of the way. As always, I'm your host, Mercules, joined tonight by Kit Kutcha. And how are you doing this evening, Kit?
Well, Mercules, I am doing pretty fantastic, happy to say. I have been dipping my toes into the PC side of Destiny 2 for the last couple of days here, and it is very pretty. And let me tell you, all of the Counter-Strike and Halo on PC that I played back in the day have not helped me that much. I feel like my point and then clicking is pretty good, and all of the buttons, I'm still like 50-50 on, you know, if I'm going to hit the right one or if I'm going to throw a grenade instead of picking up a chest. So we're getting there. It's progress, but when I do dip my toes into the PvP side of PC, I think I'm plugging in the controller, at least for the next couple of months, because, yeah.
So, you know, what I've often thought would be a really good control thing, and I know that they have this, right? I assume that when you actually use it, it feels way shittier, but like a thumbstick for your left hand that is kind of like a Wii nunchuck that you could use to go forward, strafe left and right, and that had a couple buttons on it, and then a mouse for your right hand, so that you could have like the, because honestly, mouse and keyboard, mouse isn't that hard for me. Keyboard is extremely hard. I do not deal well with having my hand on the keyboard and using that for movement. It just seems so much more intuitive to use a controller than it does to use a keyboard, right? So I like really, really struggle with my movement on mouse and keyboard as opposed to with my aiming. So I would love to be able to like move with a thumbstick and then aim with a controller. I think that would be top notch. So maybe I need to get something like that and play that way.
You know, I need to play with the controls a little bit more, I think, or with the control settings, but I'm trying to get everything to where all of the buttons are within easy reach and they make sense and I can like remember. It's definitely a struggle right now to get used to the keyboard. I wouldn't mind trying something like that. I enjoyed, I can't remember what Wii game it was I played a long time ago. Some kind of samurai slasher where you used the little handheld joystick in your left hand to move around and stuff, and then you use the nunchuck to like slash your sword or shoot people. That was fun. That was a neat control setup. So I would definitely play a shooter like that. Although I think Destiny just, the problem with Destiny is it has so many things you can do. Like, I didn't realize how many different things there were you can do, because I'm just so used to playing on the controller that I kind of forget that there's like 20 different buttons.
That every button has three different things that you can do with it. Like, you can double tap it, you can hold it down. It's actually really impressive how much they've managed to do with the limited amount of buttons on a controller. I've often thought that they need a, because right now they have triggers and then they have bumpers on the controller, right? And I've thought that they either need two bumpers, like a top and bottom bumper, or like an inner and outer bumper. I think inner and outer would be harder to use than top and bottom. But I think that there needs to be three options on the front of the controllers, a trigger and then two bumpers up above it.
A lot of bumpers.
Well, the thing is like the solution that people have right now is paddles, right?
Yeah.
And like paddles are pretty nice, but problem with paddles is that they change the way you like hold the controller in your hand because you now have paddles on the back, so you can't hold the controller with fingers wherever the paddles are, right? Like you can't grip it. You have to rest your fingers on it, but you can't grip it because then you push on the paddles, right? So I don't think paddles are the best design. I think they're good, and I think they've gotten famous because, like, you know, Battle Beaver and Scuff and everything like that started making them, and obviously now the Elite controller has them too. And I have an Elite controller. I love the Elite controller, right? Like it is legitimately my favorite video game controller I've ever had. However, I still think that it could, because I mean, the end goal, right, is you want to never move your fingers off the thumbsticks. You want to never be able to move your thumbs off the thumbsticks. Well, you're with your triggers, you never have to move your finger off the thumbsticks. You just move it off the trigger. And for stuff like melee and grenade, you know, you don't need to have a finger on a trigger. Like you could do bottom trigger is shoot, middle trigger is melee, top trigger is grenade or something like that, right? Or like top bumper is grenade. You do something like that because melee and grenade, you're not going to be shooting anyways when you activate that thing. So you don't need your finger. And then on the other one, you could have like jump, slide, ADS. Right? Like I think about that a lot. Like I think that it could be done. I think.
But I'd like to be able. This is actually the one style of movement that Destiny has thus far left out that makes me occasionally a little bit sad. I'd like to be able to jump crouch. I want to be able to jump and crouch in midair so I can go through a small space.
Yeah, you could do that in Halo. People did it
Yeah.
all the time. You would see
I
someone
love
jump and
jump
then they would
crouching.
shake. You guys can't see this, but I'm holding my hand up in the air. But someone would jump and then they would shake in the air, and it's because they were spamming crouch while they were jumping, and it made their character move really weird and it made them kind of janky. And people would do that as part of their like strafe technique when they were fighting against someone. It's actually pretty fun. I did that all the time. I was never the person who like crouched on the ground. I was always the person who would jump and crouch, so.
It was classic. And so I totally expected it to be a thing in Destiny, and when it wasn't, I'm not gonna lie, a little part of me was like, "Aw."
Yeah, it was a bummer. So, what were you talking about?
Anyway,
Yeah, yeah. So,
we have an episode to get to.
housekeeping. We don't have any new Patreons this week, but we do, as always, want to throw a shout out to Zinso Gao, our ever-present sponsor. He does so much for this podcast, and we really, really appreciate him. He and all of our patrons basically keep this an ad-free listening experience. We are 100% listener-supported, similar to PBS. Or is NPR? Is NPR the radio version
NPR,
of
yeah.
PBS? So yeah.
Except we never have pledge drives, so there you go.
We do, but we usually give them to charity, is what we do. We
That's
have
true.
pledge drives when Guardian Con comes around. I didn't get to do one this year, sadly, but next year, hopefully.
So do we have any reviews this week?
We do. We do. We have two reviews, both of them very kind. Well, one of them more kind than others. This one is, I think I already reviewed. Question mark. 5 stars. I feel like I already reviewed the show once, but lads, I have to say, even if I did, it deserves another. First off, charged with light builds, what a revelation. Changes my lethality in PvP and PvE in the most impressive way that a build ever has. Second, thanks for a great, consistent show. The show is a pillar of the community for me. Anyone who sleeps on y'all's discussions is missing critical information on how to be the strongest guardian possible. Cheers. Thank you. That is from Irresolute. And we really appreciate that, Irresolute. That is a
Yeah, thank
very, very
you.
nice podcast review. I really like that one a whole bunch. I am super happy that our Charge with Light episode helped you out because Charge with Light has also been a game changer for me.
Yeah, I was
Like
gonna say.
that was a mind-blowing revelation for us
Yeah.
that it worked. So yeah. And then next up, short but sweet, it is Sweet Business, 5 stars. Possibly the worst Star Wars takes I've ever heard. But spreadsheets with optimal TTK. Yes, these heroes do the sweet business. That is from.
I'm pretty sure I know exactly who this is because I'm pretty sure he said something about this on Twitter.
Did he? Well, his name on Apple Podcasts is a series of letters, Jingfe.
Well,
And
I
I don't know
remember
how to
seeing the
even come
tweets.
close to pronouncing that. So, yeah. You know what? You may hate our Star Wars takes, but I will say this. I think on the whole, we err on the side of positivity towards Star Wars. And I feel like it is better to have an unpopular positive opinion of something than it is, you know, to be negative about it, right? Like the reason we talk about Star Wars is because both of us, despite the fact the movies aren't necessarily the greatest movies, we both really enjoyed the movies, and so it's fun to talk about.
Yeah.
You know, so I enjoy talking about the movies, and other people may be like, oh, the prequels suck. And it's like, yeah, they're not the greatest movies, but they're just super fun to watch. They're just really fun movies, and that's why I like talking about them. But I will say that, you know, soon we're going to be done with the prequels.
True.
And then we're going to have Clone Wars, which is actually legitimately good. Like, legitimately good. And we'll have the originals, which are also legitimately good to talk about. So, and then, which probably just won't do the sequels at all. We kind of already did the sequels back in the past. We don't need that.
We've been there. But I think we can maybe spend some time on the original trilogy.
Yeah, the original trilogy will be fantastic to talk about. Pretty much the IRL podcast, by the way, guys, is now just a Star Wars podcast. That's pretty much what it is.
At least for the next 6 months.
So I listen to this podcast called Star Trek The Next Conversation, and they do this really interesting thing where they play the audio of the episode all the way through, right? So like they play it in the background, but you can hear it as you're listening to the podcast. And then they pause it and they like talk about it as it happens. And so they don't play necessarily the entire episode. What they'll do is they'll watch the episode the week before, and then they'll make notes of like scenes that they want to go to or scenes that they think are important. And then they'll play the audio for that scene, and then they'll stop it and they'll talk about it. So that sounds like a technological nightmare for me. But at the same time, if we could do something like that, I think that would make for a really fun Revenge of the Sith episode where we like had it and we were watching it. And then we could stop and talk about it. Because I have noticed that we get very off track.
We do.
On our Star Wars discussions. We and do. Then we don't end up actually talking about the episode we're supposed to be talking about.
That's the thing. Yep.
So I think it might help us to focus a little bit.
I mean, I'm sure YouTube has to have every relevant scene somewhere.
Well, what we could probably do is we could probably... I could log in on Netflix and then I could like share my screen with the Google meeting. So that you could like, you know... That's and true. Then I could capture the audio from my... Like I said, this sounds like a technological nightmare. So in all reality, this will probably not happen. But if it does, it could be pretty cool.
Well, there you go, folks. That's our episode.
All right, we'll see you guys next week.
So let's take that idea and put it in the content vault. And maybe bring it back next week.
Don't know if I like that transition. But we do have a lot of Content Vault stuff to talk about. So basically this entire TWAB was just Content Vault. Obviously, we are aware that several worlds are going away. Mars, Titan, Io, Mercury, and the Leviathan as well.
It's going to be a lonely solar system.
Yeah, and so what they're doing is they are bringing us Europa and the Cosmodrome back, right? So they wanted to use this TWAB apparently to specifically say what it is that is going to be vaulted so we could be aware. As far as strikes, any strike that is on the location that is being vaulted is going away. So the Pyramidian, the Festering Core, Savathun's Song, Strange Terrain, Will of the Thousands, Tree of Probabilities, the Garden World. Those are the strikes from Mercury, Mars, Titan, Io. All of those are going to be going away. How do you feel about that, Kid Kutcher? Are you going to miss any of that?
So I think if I'm being honest, the only real problem I see here is that I still have to play the Corrupted. That's my biggest complaint so far. That strike just takes forever, and it seems like 50% of the people that I run it with don't actually understand the mechanics. Very frustrating to try to pass the ball to somebody and have them then instantly throw it off the side of the platform. That said...
Or just miss it. Or throw it at ads. Yeah. Just blow it up on ads. It's like, oh, that was a giant waste. So...
Yeah. That said, you know... I mean, some of those strikes are fun, but I have been playing them for, like, you know, 2.5 years, give or take. So, I can live with it.
Very glad Savathun's Song is going away.
I know, people hate that one.
So, I said this, is a long time ago I said this. If you turn off the voiceover for Savathun's Song, you just completely turn it off, it is a tremendous, tremendous strike. It is really, really good. Mechanically and aesthetically, it is a phenomenal strike. And it is actually legitimately creepy if you turn the voiceover off, because you get to hear the ambient music and the like specific music for the scenes, And the voiceover is so bad that it makes it so goofy and ridiculous. But if you turn the voiceover off, Sabaton song is a really good strike. It's actually really a bummer that they ruined it with that atrocious voiceover work. Like,
Harsh
it's really
words
disappointing.
here.
It is, though. Like, when you think about bad voiceover, like, it's really, really bad. Like, Teiko 3 is going to go down in infamy as probably the most made fun of character in Destiny's existence. Like, yeah. But the Pyramidian, I like that strike. The Festering Core, I really like the Festering Core. So I'm kind of bummed out because we only got to play that for like a year and then it was gone because because it was a PS exclusive.
Oh yeah, I forget over here in my privileged PlayStation world
No
about those
more.
exclusives.
Not any longer. And now
That's
Destiny's on
okay.
Game Pass too. So, you know, not good for me because I just buy Destiny normally, but good for people who don't want to spend the money on it.
Well, cheers to
Strange
that.
Terrain is going away, which is a bummer because I think the Nokra strike is a good strike. Will of the Thousands is a bad strike, so I'm happy with that one going away. And then Tree of Probabilities and the Garden World are both going away, and that's a bummer because I like those too.
I like Will of the Thousands because it's possible to run it in like 5 minutes.
I just hate it because the boss is so anticlimactic, right? Like, how are you gonna have us kill a worm god in a strike? And not only that, but he's like laughably easy to kill, right? Like,
Yeah, that's true. Honestly, I think like the biggest problem I have is that sometimes I'll get through that last door too fast and then he runs through the bridge on the spot that I'm on because I've run too far ahead, and I fall through the world and die.
that's first world Destiny problems
It
right
is right
there.
there, yeah.
I'm speed running the strike too quickly and I died.
No, I don't mind Will of the Thousands. I know it's not people's favorite, and from a story perspective, I really dislike it. But from a gameplay perspective, if I'm just trying to knock out some strikes, that's one that I want in the playlist. Sabaothune Song, I totally agree with you about the mechanics. That's a strike that even though it takes longer, I really enjoy playing. I've never turned off the voiceover, so maybe I'll have to do that here before the end.
You should before it goes away. It really changes the way the strike works.
As for the rest of them, I mean, there are definitely some good mechanically sound strikes, and there are some strikes that did some different things. But I'm excited to see what else they have for us. So.
So, speaking of what else they have for us, there are two strikes coming with Beyond Light. Will of Crota is going to be on the Cosmodrome day one. There is a Europa strike, which they have not put the name on yet. Devil's Lair and Fallen Saber will be coming out of the vault in year four. They do not specify when they will be doing that. So I'm a little bit bummed that Will of Crota is the first one. I really, really like Devil's Lair a lot. I mean, obviously, it's like the first Destiny strike we did.
Yeah.
So it's like from the Golden Age, but I really, really like Devil's Lair. And I really, really like the Devil's Lair Redux that they did.
So I'm just going purely off memory here, and I've always been the worst at remembering strike names, but Will of Crota is Omnigol, right? Okay. I feel like we need to insert a scream when I say her name there into the podcast
I feel like we would lose a lot of listeners if we did that.
retroactively. Yeah, I'm not super thrilled about Will of Crota. I ran that strike too many times in Destiny 1, and I didn't even farm it that hard, so we'll see. Devil's Lair, I'm excited about. Fallen Saber, I had a blast with that strike. Playing soccer with the dead shank at the end was a good time. So, I don't know. I think there's good things coming. I'm very excited about Europa, obviously. And what else can you say?
Yeah, interestingly, for Gambit, since we're going to move on, I think we've knocked everything out for the strikes. For Gambit, they're combining Gambit and Gambit Prime into a single version of Gambit.
Thank goodness.
It is going to be more like Gambit Prime than normal Gambit. So it's going to be a single round with tweaked blockers, Moat Drain, and they did say there's some changes to Primeval Fight. They'll give more details on that. I'm stoked to hear that because I like everything about Gambit Prime more than Gambit, except I hate the Primeval fight. I absolutely freaking despise the cycling and vulnerability stages of the Primeval because it makes it so incredibly impossible to burn the Primeval if the other team has a good invader and you're with Randy's. If you are uncoordinated on the Primeval burn in Gambit Prime, you're pretty much toast if their invader is worth anything near his salt, which they almost always are in Gambit Prime. So I am really, 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 really hoping. My suggestion to them was that you make it to where you can only get stacks of Primeval Slayer by killing the envoys that appear around the map, right? So there is no catch-up mechanic. There is no you start off with two or whatever. Like there will be envoys spawning on the map at set intervals, and every time you kill one, you get a single stack of Primeval Slayer. Like that would be my thing.
Yeah,
And then you
that'd make
massively,
it simple.
yeah, and then you massively boost the Primeval or the Gambit, the Primeval's health, so that you can't just burn it with no stacks. Like it's not realistic to burn it with no stacks, right? So that would be the way that I would do it.
Yeah, I think that'd be phenomenal. I've had mixed experiences in Gambit Prime, but like you said, when the invader is good, it is very frustrating, especially if your team is not paying attention to the drifter shouting at them that the invader is there, and they just go ahead and kill that last envoy and start the burn phase, and you're just like, well, okay.
Yeah, we're fucked now. Like, that was pointless. Yeah. So, weirdly, they are not matching the Gambit maps to what they did with the Strikes, right? So, like, the
Yeah.
Strikes, they vaulted Mercury, Mars, Titan, Io, so they vaulted all the Mercury, Mars, Titan, Io Strikes. On Gambit, they didn't. They're vaulting a Dreaming City and Tangled Shore map, and they're keeping the Titan and Mars maps. I guess they looked at statistically and found that it was best for competitive play or something like that. But to me, like, I don't feel like Deep Six is any better than Cathedral of Scars or that New Arcadia is any better than Kell's Grave. Like I find them to be, it's, I don't know. I mean, I feel like that's a strange choice.
I don't really have super strong feelings about any of the Gambit maps. There's honestly, I don't think that there were enough to begin with to really have favorites. There's so few that it's sort of like whatever.
Yeah, why even bother vaulting any of them? I mean, I don't really think you can save that much space by vaulting two Gambit maps.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it's a weird move. But ultimately, for me, it's like whatever, you know?
And then moving into PvP, they are vaulting a significant portion of the maps. Some of these should come as no surprise to anyone that they're getting vaulted. Because they've already pretty much been vaulted, right? Like Equinox, Emperor's Respite, like those are Eternity, like those are all pretty rare already. Sometimes they come up in rotator playlists or in a single playlist, but they're pretty much gone. Firebase Echo, like those are all already pretty much gone. What is somewhat a surprise to me is they're vaulting Meltdown, Solitude, Retribution, the Citadel, Gambler's Ruin, Legion's Gulch, and Vostok,
Yeah.
which is interesting to me because like those are, in my opinion, like Vostok and Legion's Gulch are kind of classics. Gambler's Ruin's a pretty fantastic map. I haven't had any issues with it. Meltdown, I like. Solitude, I hate. Retribution, I like. Citadel, I think a lot of people don't like it. I personally think it's okay. I'm kind of surprised that they're vaulting. As many of the maps as they are, I 100% expected them to vault, you know, a handful, like four or five of them. But I didn't expect this many.
Yeah, it's a big list. I was also very surprised by that move. I know that they're kind of aiming to kind of focus things down and try to just keep the best of what they have. But I was kind of surprised to see that much go away. Honestly, people, for the most part, unless the map is really terrible, people are typically happier to have more maps and more variety. So I'm curious what the logic is behind the scenes here.
I'm surprised they didn't vault the Dead Cliffs. If like they're trying to vault maps that have balance problems, which Equinox does, which Eternity does, which Firebase Echo does, which Emperor's Respite does, the Dead Cliffs has horrible balance problems. Retribution, actually, if we're being honest, and Solitude also have pretty bad balance problems as far as it goes. Retribution has really horrible spawn traps that can take place if an organized team is playing it. And Solitude, if an organized team gets in B, it's basically the game is over, like right off the bat, because you can pretty much defend the other capture points from B by forcing people to run all the way around the outside of the map. But like the Dead Cliffs, they like vaulted it for a little bit, brought it back. The spawn trap situation is still really horrible, and like they haven't fixed it at all. So I'm kind of surprised that the Dead Cliffs survived and something like Meltdown didn't. Yeah, it's just it's interesting. It's like some of this stuff, some of it, I don't really understand why they're vaulting it, because it's like it doesn't hurt anyone to have a bunch of PvP maps as long as they're good ones. I understand you vaulting five of them, but like it's with the strikes too. Like it doesn't hurt anyone to have a bunch of strikes. Like why don't you just remove the ones that are objectively bad, like Zabathoon Song and Will of the Thousands, and then just like leave the rest. Like I feel like it's just the tiniest bit. They're just removing stuff to remove stuff. It's kind of just weird to me.
Yeah, unfortunately, we're in one of those positions where, like, there's so much that, like, we're never going to get a specific reason for each of them. Which is frustrating, but.
And I understand removing the locations, because the locations, it's like, well, there's not really anything to do on these locations anymore anyways, right? Like the locations themselves are basically dead unless we specifically put something on the location to force people to go there, and we're not going to do that. So I understand removing the locations. But like the playlist, like the strike playlist and the crucible playlist, like they're already like curated, right? And so it'd be one thing if they were like, we are completely removing the palette and the elements that this type of map uses from the game. Like we are completely removing everything from Aya, but they're not doing that because they're still leaving some stuff on Aya. So it's like, to me, it's just it seems like they're vaulting stuff so they can vault stuff, but not really with any like vaulting the destinations makes sense, saves space, cleans up the director. Like those make sense to me. Vaulting crucible maps that are fine doesn't really make sense to me. It's just like, okay, but
I mean, I think the big question on everyone's minds is, will they be vaulting the doors from Cauldron? And it seems like that's a no so far. Like that was one of the things I was a little bit surprised by. They're just 'cause they're taking out a lot of maps. I was kind of like, they're taking out all of these maps, but they left in Cauldron, which I think was possibly the most bitched about map in the last year. With and I don't want to crap on people who had a problem with it. Like, I understand the frustration.
so you're saying that this episode will turn into a what's your favorite and least favorite Destiny 2 PvP
I
map?
think so.
Javelin 4, Javelin 4, baby. Love it. Definitely my favorite map. Least favorite map, Solitude. I'll tell you that right now. Despise Solitude.
Yeah, I mean, I think if I had to pick. You held a gun to my head, boy. I think Exodus Blue has to be my favorite PvP map of all
Okay,
time.
what if you can't pick a redone Destiny 1 map? You have to pick one that's unique to Destiny 2.
But.
I know. But if we're talking
Oh.
Destiny 1, if we're talking Destiny 1, then
It's so much better
oh,
than any map.
Firebase Delphi in Destiny
Firebase Delphi
1.
was fun.
Yeah, I love that. So you have to pick a D2 map that's unique to D2. So you can't do the Burnout, you can't do Cauldron, you can't do Convergence, you can't do the Anomaly. Wow, there are a lot of maps that just came back from T1.
You've taken all the good maps, basically.
No, you have Altar of Flame, the
boy.
Dead Cliffs, you can't do Distant Shore, Endless Veil, the Fortress, Fragment, Javelin 4, Midtown. Midtown's a pretty good one.
I don't care for Midtown that much.
Radiant Cliffs. I like Radiant Cliffs. Can't do Widow's Court. Wormhaven. Meltdown, Solitude, Retribution. I love Retribution.
I'm going to say, and I this is odd because I just expressed some sympathy for people who don't like Doors, but I'm going to say the Burnout. I really enjoy the contrast from light to dark in that map.
I don't feel like you should be able to say the Burnout either, because that's a D1 map that got brought back.
It has is it? Oh, shoot. Yeah. It is. Dang it. Okay, yeah. I can't even do this right now. Let's move on. What's next? As we've learned, Destiny 1 maps are all better than Destiny 2 maps, and they should just bring all of the Destiny 1 maps back.
The Destiny 1 maps are very good, but do you remember when we did our map breakdown of the Destiny 1 maps and how we talked about the different like styles of maps? Like, there were very defined styles of maps. There was Diamond, there was 3-lane Rectangle, there was Circle, right? Like, there were very defined styles of maps in D1. And they kind of shattered that a little bit with D2, and they broke the mold, and they made a bunch of very uniquely shaped maps. And there's a reason that multiplayer maps have followed the same basic blueprint for years and years and years, and it's because it works and it's fair. And the problem is, when you try to innovate, it doesn't always necessarily work. And so you end up with things like Equinox, which is this ridiculous A-frame shaped map that ends up playing really, really awfully, because it turns out that getting stuck at either end of the A basically means that you're screwed. So,
I guess I'm trying to refresh my memory because I always have trouble connecting some of the names of the maps that I don't play on as much, or that I haven't been playing on for 7 years anyway. I feel like I could say Pacifica is a map that I enjoy.
Pacifica's a good map. I like Pacifica. It's a lot better than Wormhaven. And those are both maps on Titan, so.
Yeah, I like Pacifica. I was trying to remember the name of that map, and then I just started looking at pictures, and that's the one.
You know what I was thinking is that I actually like Emperor's Respite, despite the fact... Wait, is it Respite or is it Respite?
I would say Respite.
Can it be either?
I think it can be either, depending on the context.
I want to say Respite.
And your nation of origin.
Yeah, so regardless, Emperor's Respite, just to humor the grammar Nazis. I actually really like that map, despite how poorly balanced it was. I think it's a beautiful map. We don't have maps on like the Leviathan, right? So I thought that was really, really a beautiful map. Sucks that it didn't play very well. But so moving on, we have some really... This is the actual important stuff. So they are vaulting game modes.
Yeah.
Interestingly.
I was surprised that they went this direction, although I'm not entirely sad that they did. I'm not sure that they quite went far enough.
So my question becomes, they don't explain what is going to be a rotator and what is going to be a permanent playlist, unless there are no longer any rotators, there are just permanent playlists, which I think is possible. So they've got Rumble. This is what's available PvP modes on November 10th. Rumble, Clash, Control. Underneath Control says Iron Banner Control. What that makes me think is that Iron Banner Control is going to replace Control when it comes in to the playlist. Because then it says Elimination. Underneath Elimination, Trials of Osiris. That makes me think the same thing. So I think they're going to be replacing Control with Iron Banner, and they're going to be replacing Elimination with Trials of Osiris. I'm okay with those things. Then there's Showdown, which Showdown is the round-based clash with revives.
Yeah.
Where you only get a point if you kill the person and they do not get revived. If they get revived, it takes the point away, right? It's a very interesting game mode. It actually plays pretty fun. I have some issues with some of the minutiae in it. Like, the possible revive timer is extraordinarily long. It's like 45 seconds. So you have a very long time to revive someone after they die. Which, in my opinion, is actually far, far too long. It makes it easy to revive people, as opposed to being like a risk that you have to take that point away from them. It's actually like, you can just kind of wait till the battle's done and then go revive everyone, which isn't great. And then secondarily, because revives are so important, four mans basically just like huddle up and camp somewhere, and you may kill one or two of them, but then the other two get the revives and you basically got no points. So, I thought it was fun. I think it has some issues. If they're going to make it a non-rotator, if they're going to make it a full-time playlist, I hope that they internally tested and addressed those issues. Survival is staying, and then Mayhem Clash. So to me, it makes it seem like these are all going to be permanent playlists, right? Because what is Mayhem Clash going to rotate with? Clash? Is it just going to rotate between Clash and Mayhem Clash?
I don't think that's going to be the case. Because, I mean, if they do that, and then, like, say, let's say Iron Banner... I mean, are they going to have Iron Banner control replace control and Trials replace elimination? That's kind of what it looks like on here.
I think that's what it is.
But even if they do that, that still leaves us with seven playlists, which is, I guess, technically a reduction.
Well, it's a... I would say it's a focusing more so than it is a reduction.
Yeah, that's true.
So right now, if we compare, right now we have Rumble, which exists, so that's staying the same. Right now, we don't have Clash. We have a 6v6 rotator. We don't have Mayhem Clash. We have a 6v6 rotator. And we have Classic Mix. So it looks like Clash is replacing Classic Mix. Mayhem Clash is no longer going to be a rotator. It's just going to be permanent. And then we have Survival. We have Showdown. So they're actually adding Showdown, which I guess is going to be another comp sting because it's round-based like Survival is.
I would assume it would be quote-unquote competitive.
I mean, it sounds like they're just getting rid of rotators. Yeah. Is what it sounds like is happening. And the stuff that's in the rotators, Supremacy, Countdown, Lockdown, Breakthrough, Doubles, Momentum Control, and Scorch, it does asterisk that Momentum Control and Scorch will be coming back at some point in time during year four. But they're going to be gone at the beginning. So basically everything that's in the rotators has been removed, with the exception of Showdown and Mayhem Clash, which have been moved to the main page. So,
yeah, I mean, I guess it's possible that these will all be nodes. It'll be interesting.
I bet Mayhem Clash is there for so people can get bounties done. Like the ones that's like pop your super and get kills with grenades and get melee kills. Like, I bet that's what Mayhem Clash is there for. So that casual players can go in and get their bounties done, you know, in a single game as opposed to having to play multiple games.
I suppose that makes some kind of sense.
I'm surprised they have both Showdown and Survival, honestly. I mean, I would have thought that if those are going to be ranked, you really only need the one, not the two. Or you make a playlist that has both in it.
I guess I'm surprised that they have Elimination, Showdown, and Survival. I would have expected two out of those three. I guess I didn't particularly expect Showdown. Maybe it's more popular than I knew.
I don't think so. I mean...
Maybe they want it to be more popular. I don't know.
Maybe they want more skill-based matchmaking playlists, so they want to try to make it more even. So Elimination, Showdown, Survival are all skill-based matchmaking. So they do that. And then you have Rumble, Clash, Control for non-skill-based matchmaking. So that gives players a little bit more variation to play if they want something that's not connection-based.
That's true.
And then they said, just to note, that Trials of Osiris is not impacted by other content moving to the Destiny content vault. The Lighthouse will continue to be available to all those who go flawless. They talk about raids and dungeons. They say no dungeons are getting vaulted. However, Prophecy is going to be unavailable temporarily because they have to make a technical update to it. Raids, they are going to keep Last Wish and Garden of Salvation. There's going to be a new raid that I'm assuming will be on Europa that's coming. They're also going to be bringing Vault of Glass back at some point during year four. They do not say when they're going to be bringing it back, but they do say they're going to be bringing it back at some point during year four.
I feel like it's a safe bet for second quarter. I'm going to call it now.
It had damn well better not be summer. Like, it either needs to be winter or second quarter when they bring it back. We do not want to have to wait till summer for Vault of Glass. But then moving into the Destiny content vault, you have everything on the Leviathan, which is Leviathan, Eater of Worlds, Spire of Stars, Crown of Sorrows, but then also Scourge of the Past is going away for some reason, which is kind of a bummer. So, you know, it is what it is. It'll definitely trim down on the LFG post. You won't see a bunch of people trying to run a bunch of different raids. It will just be a couple of raids, and that's it.
It's true. Kind of focus things in a little bit. On that note, focusing in, if you don't have all of your exotic weapons, it's time to get down to business. There are a number of exotic quests that can no longer be completed in their original forms, as of November 10th, and any incomplete progress on those quests will be abandoned. So if you want to finish those quests, gotta get it done. Quite a list there: Sturm, Mida, Rat King, Acrius, Sleeper Simulant, Polaris Lance, Worldline Zero, Ace of Spades, The Last Word, Le Monarch, Jotun. Excuse me, Yotun, Izanagi's Burden, Thorn, Lumina, Truth, and Bad
I've got
Juju.
you saying Jotun now. Doesn't it just roll off the tongue better? Isn't it just better?
I've always said it that way, even though I knew that it was like Jotun in the original, or some, my accent obviously is American, but something like Jotun in the original Norse, but I don't speak Norse, I speak American English. And here y'all, we say it Jotun.
Joan or nothing. So yeah, they're quick to point out like these are not being retired. The original acquisition quest lines are going away. They are going to be put into a kiosk in the tower called the Memorial Kiosk.
Yep.
And it says they'll have more information later this season about how the exotic archives work, and how you can earn any exotics that you were not able to get your hands on before Destiny Year 4.
That said, there are a number of catalysts that may actually not be available at the end of Season of Arrivals. And it's basically a number of weapons on that list, and then there are a couple that are not on that list. So it's Bad Juju, Huckleberry, Izanagi's Burden, Legend of Acrius, Polaris Lance, Skyburner's Oath, Sleeper Simulant, Telesto, Outbreak Perfected, Whisper of the Worm, and Worldline Zero. I know there are some of those that I don't have done, so I'm gonna have to get to work on that. There are some of those that are a little RNG based, so oh well. If you don't have them, then you're screwed. And it is what it is.
It does say all of them will come out of the vault at some point in time in the future, but it
Yep.
is very vague on the point in time, so I would not expect them to come out of the vault
I would
at
guess
any
year
point
five at
soon.
best.
Yeah, so they clarify a QA, they say more clarification. We are explicit when a destination enters the vault, its PvE content will no longer be available. This means story missions and cinematics, strikes, raids, dungeons, adventures, secret missions, vendors and associated bounties, destination-specific patrols, collectibles and scannables, destination-specific activities like forges, escalation protocol, and then freely roaming the destinations themselves like lost sectors. So everything is going away, and the year one campaigns are also going away.
Yep.
So Red War, Curse of Osiris, Warmind campaigns will no longer be gone. Curse of Osiris and Warmind are probably not going to be missed. Red War is actually a pretty decent campaign, and I'm sure that will be a bummer for new players. But they said they are building an expanded Guardian origin story on the Cosmodrome that will launch alongside Year 4 and will be available for all Guardians to play. It will introduce you to the world and mechanics of Destiny and prepare you to play the action MMO game we all enjoy, along with Forsaken and Shadowkeep, which are still available. That's probably a good thing because one of the worst things that New Light did was make the new player experience really, really bad. Run one mission, thrown into the tower, thrown into a director that has 60 bazillion things on it with no sense of direction and 100 things to do at once, and then make it really hard to find the story missions themselves that you need to play through to like explain the game.
Yeah, it was definitely kind of a false start in terms of engaging people with the storyline campaigns. I'm excited to see what they're gonna do with this new origin story. I'm very curious to see how it's gonna work in terms of us as existing Guardians playing it. I don't know if it's gonna be timey-wimey, if they're just gonna say just play it for fun, and it doesn't have to make sense. I'm really curious, you know, are there going to be two sets of dialogue, depending on if you're a new Guardian or an existing Guardian? I'm very curious to find out how it's going to work, because Bungie has been so... They've stuck to their guns in terms of wanting everything that they put in the game to make sense in the context of the game's story. Even the Crucible, you know, the PvP, has to fit into the game's story. These are locations that we've captured from the enemy that we use as training grounds. Right? It all ties together. So how an origin story is going to be playable for existing characters, I don't know. But I'm excited to find out. I'm looking forward to the Cosmodrome, by the way. I have a lot of good memories in the Cosmodrome. And I am very excited to find out how much they've changed it and what's stayed the same.
Yeah, I hope they do as good a job on it as they did on the moon, because the moon's just really, really beautiful and fantastic. So I really hope that they do as good a job on it and they add some new stuff to it. It's not just exactly the same, but they really work to update it and to bring the fidelity up and to add some new surprises and features and things like that. So yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Just as a side note, Whisper and Zero Hour missions are going away, which is a bummer. And their exotic rewards are also going away. And so interestingly, those two exotics, they specifically said they're going to find a new way to reintroduce them. So those are not going to the exotic kiosk or whatever so that you can pick them up. They are actually going away. So if you want Outbreak Prime or Whisper, better go get it now. Which is kind of crazy that they're getting rid of that stuff too. But, yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's too bad those are going away. I guess, you know, technically the locations that they're on, I mean, 0 hour is on Earth, but it's at the old tower.
Yeah, they said it was part of the Red War campaign, so that's why it has to...
We're all about the new tower here.
Yeah, and then we got, all year two seasonal content is going away. Forges, Menagerie, Reckoning. Oh god, no, not Reckoning, although nobody actually cares. I said the same thing on DCP, but it's like, please take Reckoning. Just take it.
I'm sad about Menagerie.
Menagerie, yeah, is a bummer.
That's a fun mode. I gotta make sure I play that a few more times before it goes away.
Yeah, and everything associated with those things. So, you know, 801 is going away. Benedict 66, Warner 9940, those are going away. And that's it, man. So that's a lot. That's a lot of info. Now that we know specifically what's not going to be here, how are you feeling about the Destiny Content Vault and what it's going to be doing to the state of our game?
You know, I got to be honest, I definitely am having some mixed feelings about it. That's a lot of stuff to get taken out. So I think what it's going to come down to is that Bungie is going to have to be on the ball with putting new stuff into the game to keep us engaged. The next, you know, four seasons, they're going to be held, I think, to the fire. If they don't live up to players' expectations. And I'll probably be right there with everybody else. You know, if they take all of this stuff out of the game and then they don't deliver, that's going to be disappointing. So, I don't know, man. I'm still kind of absorbing the enormity of that list right now. It's hard to put a finger on exactly how I feel about all of it. How about you?
Well, I mean, I think something had to be done. You can't have another Destiny 2 Year 3 situation where you have a seemingly infinite number of things in the game, none of them organized, a lot of them struggling from player population issues, no sense of progression that's defined in a lot of the content. I mean, really, New Light was a chance to show the game and the community, like, we can keep up with all of this content that's here. We're not going to get rid of anything because We think that, you know, the more stuff there is in game to do, the more likely it is that players will find something that they enjoy. But they proved very quickly that they were not able to keep up with everything. So my personal, you know, if I could snap my fingers and make it so, I would prefer to keep all of the content in the game and just to streamline the content itself, right? Like there are a lot of exotic quests and old quests and things like that, that like quests should be designed for the season in which the quest is released. And then every single quest should have like an expiration date after which it reverts to a secondary means of acquiring whatever the reward is, right? And all of these quests should, as soon as they hit that expiration date, just revert to the secondary means. The vast majority of them do not. In fact, I don't think any of them do. They all just continue to require the same things they required during the season. And that makes it very, very difficult because they all have to be monitored every season when activities are coming and going. And like, it's a nightmare, right? It's an actual nightmare. It takes a lot of manpower and a lot of hours to monitor that stuff. So I understand why they can't do it. If I could snap my fingers and grant the wish, I would do something like that. I would keep every bit of content in the game and I would just streamline it down a significant amount. Because I believe that the more locations there are, the more collectibles there are, the more things there are for you to see, to do, to explore, the more maps there are to play on, the more likely you are to catch someone's eye and get them hooked on the game, right? The more raids there are to do, the more strikes there are to do, like the more content. Like, imagine someone looking at Destiny and being like, there are 8 worlds, 20 strikes, 45 multiplayer maps, 7 raids, and you're telling me I get all of that for $40? Like, that is a selling point right there. Like, I will have content for days. But what happened was they came in with New Light and it was just like, bam, you have all of that immediately available to you. Figure it out yourself. And instead of people being like, wow, there's so much to do, they were like, wow, there's way too much to do. I don't know where to start. I'm overwhelmed. I'm leaving. Right. And I think Bungie took that as they don't want to have all this content. It's like, no, we do want to have all the content, but you have to display it to us in a palatable manner. And it wasn't done. So, if the alternative is another Destiny 2 New Light situation where it's just slapped in the face by content, then yes, the Destiny Content Vault is a better solution because the director that we have next season is going to be elegant, right? Like all of that old stuff that's cluttering up the director, it's all going to be gone. Like, we're only going to have a handful of destinations, we're only going to have a handful of quests. Like, it's basically going to be a reset on Destiny. And there's going to be a lot of clutter and a lot of trash that's just swept off to the side. Unfortunately, I think a lot of good stuff is getting, you know, thrown out. You're throwing the baby out with the bathwater, unfortunately. But
There definitely have been a lot of organizational issues. So hopefully clearing the slate like this will give them an opportunity to kind of rebuild things, not from the ground up per se, but maybe from where they're at on November 10th, and add things back in a way that makes sense and that new players can follow and the rest of us can enjoy. So, like I said, though, this very much puts the pressure on them to perform. They throw out the baby with the bathwater. That analogy didn't quite work as well as I thought it would.
better replace that baby real quick. Someone's gonna notice it's gone. I mean, it's the same thing with sunsetting weapons, right? Like, if you're gonna sunset all these weapons, you better replace them with something, right? Like, they are by making these decisions, by getting rid of stuff that's already in the game, they are putting a lot of pressure on themselves to replace that stuff with stuff that people care about at least equivalently, if not more, right? Because if you can't, you're gonna have a lot of angry players on your hands.
I still feel like the weapon sunsetting, if we can take a second to talk about that, is happening in a way that is it is like confusing and haphazard. Because essentially, in Crucible, like just standard Crucible, you can continue to use whatever weapon you want because light's not enabled. It's irrelevant. And so sunsetting has no effect on PvP meta at all. except in Trials and Iron Banner.
Yeah, but that's a significant, like, that is an effect,
It
right? Like,
is.
there's a large portion of Crucible players, especially competitive ones, who won't use something in Quick Play that they can't use in Trials or Iron Banner, because any time you spend using Mountaintop in Quick Play is not helping you get better at Trials, because you can't use Mountaintop in Trials, right? So there will be a number of players who, like me, myself, like, I will shed weapons that I can't use in in-game. I will shed those. I won't use them in Quick Play anymore. And I know we were talking about this in the Fire Range podcast, but Cammy's the same way, and so is Drewski. Like, if they can't take it up to the highest level with them and use it at the highest level, they're not going to use it in Quick Play. Unless they're just, like, memeing on something, right? But, like, for their standard day in, day out play, they won't use it. And there will be people like that. Because, I mean, we saw that in D1, right? Like, you could technically use these old guns in PvP Crucible, but we never saw them.
I guess the point I was trying to get at is that I feel like it's going to result in very much a big split in the meta. And that there are, like you said, there are going to be a lot of high-end players who are playing with guns that, strictly speaking, may not be the best in regular PvP. And then there are going to be other players who take advantage of that, and who do play. Who continue to run Mountaintop endlessly. And I don't know. I think it's gonna be a very odd situation where, to some extent, if you do want to play that way, if you want to play with only the guns that you can use at the highest level, you're going to be handicapped a little bit in your standard PvP play. And I feel like that's going to get frustrating for people after a while. And I feel like Bungie has to have thought about this because they clearly intentionally did it this way. And I guess I don't know what the logical conclusion of that is going to be, but I have a feeling that it's going to upset somebody at some point.
We maybe give them too much credit on this, but they're going to run into problems with sunsetting because they didn't solve the problem with sunsetting, right? Like, the problem that they had is that they made pinnacle weapons that were too good, right? And they should have just instantly just deleted every pinnacle weapon. Like, pinnacle weapons were a mistake. Just flat out, they were a mistake. Pinnacle weapons should have all individually been pushed out and tuned, and they should never make pinnacle weapons again. Not like that. Secondary thing, the next most problematic thing is exotics, right? Which are not being sunset at all.
Yeah.
So those are still going to cause issues. Everything else that they're sunsetting, they're just sunsetting standard legendary weapons and archetypes, which will continue to exist. So I know that the minutiae there is that they are sunsetting specific perk combinations, which they have now shown that they want to move away from. Right? But the fact of the matter is, like, you're gonna sunset a 600, like, my Galliard 42 is getting sunset, right? I'm going to have a gnawing hunger. Like, I'm literally just trading one weapon for another weapon. Sunsetting the Galliard 42 did nothing other than force me to just switch to another of the exact same archetype, right? Like, it didn't solve a problem at all. You still have to balance the 600 RPM auto rifles, right? So to me, it's like you're not really solving the issue, because the stuff that you're sunsetting for the most part isn't a problem. Or if it is a problem, it's still going to be a problem even with sunsetting, unless you just completely wipe the archetype away, which I understand that may be something they can do. They can use sunsetting to completely wipe out archetypes, to literally make archetypes vanish from the game. And maybe that's something that they plan to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think, in PvE and PvP, I think definitely one of the big things that they are interested in doing is, like you said, eliminating certain perk combinations on certain guns from being available. And that's fine. I'm totally okay with that. I think that's great. If it helps the game be a little bit more balanced, totally fine. We'll still find the best possible combinations on the new guns. and we'll go for that. And I'm game to do that. I just think it's, I guess I just think it's weird that everything all the way back is still going to be totally usable in seven different game modes in PvP with absolutely no penalty and no reason not to do it. And so those perk combinations are still going to be there. I just feel like that there's going to be trouble down the road. They've gone the route of sunsetting, and unless they backtrack on it, which at this point would be a whole lot of work, but they've done a whole lot of work to backtrack on stuff in the past. So saying that they won't do it is clearly a fool's game, as I've learned repeatedly from saying that they won't do something. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's going to be very, very odd in about 9 months.
When they'll have to redo this, they'll have to solve this problem all over again, basically.
Yeah.
Be like, how are we gonna do this now?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see where people are at 9 to 12 months from now. We'll find out. So, and with that, I think we've covered everything we set out to cover and more.
Isn't this like twice now that we've said we were going to do a pretty short podcast and then we ended up doing an hour long, a standard hour long podcast, just having a ton to talk
Twice.
about? I'm actually glad it's twice in the last 2 weeks, I should say.
Yeah,
It's about a million
I was gonna
times that
say
we've done this overall.
that's about the 174th time that we've done that. Yeah.
It's
I got nothing.
yeah, it's something. There was actually a lot more to talk about with the Destiny Content Vault than I really thought. I mean, we're able to dig deep into it and kind of, break down how it is that we feel about the stuff and what it's going to mean for the game. But I hope they do more TWABs like this in the upcoming future, detailing more changes. I really want to know what they're going to do for PvP in this playlist. I'm really, really interested to see that.
Yeah, definitely gonna have to maybe tweet at them some questions about PvP. Hopefully a lot of other people will ask the same questions and we'll get some answers.
All right, well, I am willing to call that the end of episode 175. Thank you guys for tuning in, and we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.